Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, 1,408 new cases of COVID-19 confirmed today in the Republic. We'll hear from the Deputy Chief Medical Officer. Meanwhile, the Taoiseach confirms that COVID-19 booster shots will become a reality, it seems, from now on. It's emerged that Donegal County Council may suspend its processing of the defective blocks scheme because of the difficulties it's causing employees. We'll hear from the chair of Donegal County Council. Former Donegal priest Con Cunningham is sentenced to 18 months imprisonment for sexually abusing two minors in the Fannet area. The Bishop of Raphoe issues a statement. And later in the bulletin at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. 1,408 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed this evening in the Republic. 152 people are in hospital with the virus, 26 of them in ICU. 16 patients were in Letterkenny University Hospital at 8 o'clock last night, 5 of them in intensive care, both of those the highest relevant figures in the country. Meanwhile, 1,600 people tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland in the past 24 hours, with 3 new COVID-related deaths. 244 patients now in hospital across the border, 32 of them in ICU. Latest HPSC figures show in the 2 weeks to midnight on Monday there were 1,545 cases detected in County Donegal, a 14-day incidence rate of 970.5 cases per 100,000 people. That compares to a national average of 344.2. Donegal's rate remains the highest in the country. Well, 9 COVID-related deaths have been confirmed in the Republic since last week. 152 patients now in hospital, as we said, with 26 in intensive care. The median age of those infected is 24, with around 2% of those cases being hospitalised. People may have to be vaccinated with COVID-19 booster shots every year, according to the Taoiseach. The first booster shots will be administered in the autumn for healthcare workers and those most vulnerable to the virus. The Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, believes they'll be available to most other people in the winter. He says the EU is continuing to procure mRNA vaccines to keep people protected.
Getting into a position where it could be similar to the flu jab on an annual basis. So there is an expectation that we will require boosters. There's ongoing research in respect of the timeline, you know, in terms of efficacy of the vaccine and how long you have protection. So that's ongoing research, and that will inform the timelines for booster vaccines.
Well, 2 walk-in COVID-19 vaccination centres will operate in Donegal over the bank holiday weekend. The vaccination centre at Letterkenny Institute of Technology will be open for walk-ins on Saturday between 8:30 and 5:00, and on Sunday from 8:30 until 12:30. Meanwhile, a walk-in vaccination clinic will be open at the satellite centre at Carndonagh Community School on Monday from 9 to 12 noon. The clinics will offer first doses to anyone over the age of 16. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says you don't need an appointment to attend the centre and get your vaccine.
It's mRNA vaccine, so Pfizer or Moderna, anyone over the age of 16, and you can just walk in. Now, if you've already registered online and you've got a date for a vaccine centre, that doesn't matter. You can turn up to one of these walk-in centres, just bring your photo ID. And if you haven't already registered online, we can register you at the vaccine centre. You need to bring your PPSN, mobile phone number, email and photo ID.
It's emerged today that Donegal County Council may suspend its processing of the defective blocks scheme because of the difficulty it's causing employees. In a document circulated to members, the Chief Executive John McLaughlin says the work doesn't fall under the normal work of council, but last year the authority agreed to take on the project at the request of government in order to be helpful. However, he says in recent weeks, employees have been subjected to a barrage of abuse, creating an intimidatory, hostile, humiliating and offensive environment. Mr. McLaughlin says the council has a duty of care to its employees and is engaging with the county solicitor and its criminal defence lawyer. He concludes there is a strong likelihood the council will need to suspend the processing of the grants. Well, look here, look, Councillor Jack Murray says many staff are themselves affected homeowners and he says they've been placed in an impossible position.
It's very, very serious, and I think our council staff are stuck in an absolutely impossible situation, and I've been mindful that many of our council staff have Mica in their own home. Many of our council staff's homes are crumbling, but they're in the possible situation of trying to administer a very flawed scheme to the letter of the law, and they're dealing with homeowners who are heartbroken, frustrated. And at this point in time, the council staff are on the front line trying to explain a bad scheme to devastated homeowners. And it's come to this very, very difficult position where I suppose the chief executive has made a very strong stance in that he has to protect the staff from the very, very bad situation that they've now found themselves in.
Possibly not helped by the fact that the council meeting has once again been adjourned, and there are a number of decisions and resolutions that should be coming from council that haven't yet been made because there have been difficulties at your own online meetings.
There has been, and it's something that I, as Gaelic, want to address. I understand how bad that seems to the public and to anybody looking in, but I've spoken to all the whips of the groupings. I've spoken to a number of individual members, and there is unity of purpose in this, that we do see that there's a problem come from one direction, and that needs to be resolved. And as I said, the last meeting, there was motions on Mica we didn't even get to discuss, and sure, who we letting down when that happened? So it needs to be addressed, and that's absolutely something I want to do.
When would you anticipate a decision on this, the chief executive actually saying we are or we aren't going to continue?
I've no say on that whatsoever. That'll be an executive function completely for the chief executive, so I don't know his thought process on that, but that's ultimately the decision he'll have to make. But I would imagine it'll be made fairly soon, because I know he's a fairly efficient man.
And that was the Gaelic of Donegal County Council, Councillor Jack Murray-Moore, from Councillor Murray on our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, a number of members of the Defective Blocks Working Group walked away today. The North Mayo Pyrite Group stepped aside, saying they believe the talks are a time-wasting exercise by government without any real commitment to resolving the issues. Last week, campaigner Paddy Diver vacated his seat on the working group over what he claims were attempts by government officials to push through another 90-10 scheme. The group yesterday agreed to extend their talks until the end of September. Discussions are still ongoing over whether a second demonstration for 100% Mica redress planned for Dublin for mid-September will go ahead or not. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Paddy Diver said that three Donegal homeowners on the working group, Michael Doherty, Eileen Doherty and Anne Owens, don't want to give up.
The talks are breaking down. They're definitely breaking down. That's why Josephine and Lauren from Mayo have walked away, because they are just completely sick of it, sick of the kicking the can down the street. But, and Michael and Anne and Eileen's, on their favour, they don't want to give up on the homeowners. They do not want to give up. They're going to try and fight to the last. But at the same time, there comes a stage when you realise that it's back to the streets. It's back to more pressure, no matter political pressure or not, because what they're giving is completely a million miles away from how near we are. They're not signing off documents, they're not signing off minutes of these low-bearing fruits. We're telling you so we've got them, but the document and the paperwork is not actually there. So they could walk away from that. I'm going down to a house now that a chumley is ready to fall down. We're on about taking down this chumley ourselves.
Yeah.
Save the family's nightmare. So that's how serious it is. A chumley is about to fall down. It's actually at a side leaning like a leaning tower of a pizza. And that is how serious it is. So there's no point. We've looked for expertise to get in there. 3 weeks ago when I walked out, whenever they weren't given it. So then again, this week, they still turned around and said, oh yeah, right, we're looking into it there and seeing how we can go about it. They've cancelled the meeting to the end of the week. So there's just 3 full weeks, nearly 1 month, of letting an expertise in there. So where are we going? We're a million miles away. They're not giving, Greg, being on illusion here, people, they are not giving a state guarantee. And if they don't give a state guarantee, that means your houses are not insured. Mm. And if your houses are not insured, that's till the states we need to go.
And that was Paddy Diver speaking on today's 9 till noon show. Former Donegal priest Con Cunningham has been sentenced to 18 months imprisonment for sexually abusing two minors in the Fannet area while serving in the Diocese of Raphoe in the early to mid-1970s. The current Bishop of Raphoe, Alan McGuckian, has apologised to the victims and their families and acknowledged that in the past, the diocese failed to act appropriately and expeditiously. With more, here's Daniel Brennan.
At Letterkenny Circuit Criminal Court today, Cunningham pleaded guilty to 8 separate counts of indecent assaults in the early 1970s, involving two victims, Margaret and Paula Martin, who were aged between 11 and 13 and 9 and 12 at the time of the respective incidents. The former priest has already served a 9-month jail sentence for sex crimes after being convicted in 2018 of 2 counts of indecent assault dating back to 1976 and 1977. In a statement released this afternoon, the Bishop of Raphoe, Alan McGuckian, says he is aware of the sense of betrayal, anger and shock of all parishioners in the Raphoe Diocese, and he apologised for the deep hurt that has been caused to them and the victims. He also commended the two victims for their courage in coming forward and seeking justice, and urged anyone else with concerns or complaints to come forward.
The Bishop's statement in full, and a number of contact details for services both within the diocese and also on a national and statutory basis, are available on our website, highlandradio.com. A former Fianna Fáil senator's case for alleged drunk driving and hit-and-run matters has been adjourned for a 20th time. The case had been listed for hearing in Glenties today, but 42-year-old Breen O'Donnell, originally from Killult in Fallcarragh, was not in court and was not legally represented. It came before the courts for the first time almost 8 years ago. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
A sitting of Fallcarragh District Court in Letterkenny last month was told that Breen O'Donnell was due back from Quebec, Canada, to face the charges. It was also intimated that he would be pleading guilty. He is charged with drunk driving, failing to remain at the occurrence, failing to remain at the scene and failing to give appropriate information at an alleged incident at Tully Gay, Letterkenny, on September the 2nd, 2013. Inspector David Durkin told today's court that the status of the case had been changed. He said that the Donegal State Solicitor was not available for today's sitting. Judge Paul Kelly said this was a Fallcarragh matter and he adjourned the case until September the 17th. The defendant had requested that his case be heard as Gaeilge.
Returning to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the Chief Medical Officer says Ireland may be weeks away from the easing of further COVID restrictions. NPHET today reported 1,408 new cases with 9 deaths over the past week. Dr. Tony Houlihan says there has, however, been strong progress in the vaccination programme in recent weeks, and he says that could lead to the further unwinding of pandemic measures.
In broad terms, I think, given the progress we're making in terms of vaccination, notwithstanding where we're at with the disease, we think that we might, in the coming weeks, be in a situation where we're able to reach the kinds of requirements that we think need to be reached to enable us to move away from some of the economic and social restrictions.
And it's been confirmed by the Northern Ireland Department of Health that they'll stop giving out first doses of COVID-19 vaccines at their 7 regional vaccination centres from this Saturday. They'll be expanding the Northern Ireland Pharmacy Vaccination Scheme to compensate. They say the regional vaccination centres will continue to administer second doses throughout August, but first doses will not be available from Saturday. The Department of Health says this is to allow healthcare workers currently assigned to the large regional vaccination centres return to the wider health service.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past 5 and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with the Olympics, and Mona McSherry set a new Irish record in the 200 metres breaststroke heats at the Olympics. The Sligo woman swam 2 minutes 25.08 seconds and finishing second in her heat. She didn't make the top 16 for a semi-final place, but finished 20th overall, having been ranked 28th before the event. Meanwhile, Nat Wen says he has no regrets about his Olympic experience. The Dubliner lost by 2 sets to 1 to men's 10th seed Wang Chu-Wei and misses out on a place in badminton's last 16. Wen says he'll use this week's experience for future Olympics. And boxer Aoife O'Rourke missed out on a quarter-final place in Tokyo. The Castlereagh middleweight was defeated by a former world champion Xian Li of China on a unanimous decision. But Kurt Walker does have the chance to fight for at least a bronze on Sunday morning. He'll face American Duke Reagan in the men's featherweight quarterfinals following his victory this morning. And Team Ireland celebrated their first medal of the Games in the early hours of this morning. The women's rowing four of Afrique Kyo, Emer Lam, Fiona Murta and Emily Hegarty, they secured bronze. While world champion lightweight men's doubles duo Paul O'Donovan and Fintan McCarthy, they advanced to tomorrow's final by setting a new world's best time and winning their semi-final. In Gaelic games, there's quarter-final action tonight in the Ulster Minor Championship. Donegal, they're on the road. They've travelled to play Monaghan up in Clonus. Elsewhere, it's Tyrone against Down in Healy Park. The holders, Derry, they're up against Armagh and Owen Beg. And Cavan play Fermanagh at the Kingspan Breffni Park. All those games throw in at 7:30. Ulster Ladies Minor Championship Platinum semi-finals tonight. Donegal, they play Monaghan. It's on Niamh Padraic's pitch in Lifford. Start time there is also 7:30. While the GAA World has been paying tribute to Joe Canning, who today called time on his inter-county career. The Portumna forward was an All-Ireland winner in 2017, 5 times an All-Star and a 2-time National League winner. Henry Shefflin says Canning will be a loss to the inter-county scene, while Liam McCarthy, winning manager Michael Donoghue, called him a hurler and a gentleman. Canning's final game for Galway was last weekend's defeat to Waterford. On the pitch tonight, reigning All-Ireland champions Cork, they take on Limerick in this evening's Munster Under-20 Hurling Championship Final at Park of Keeve. And the Leinster Minor Hurling Championship Final between Kilkenny and Wexford takes place at Netwatch Cullen Park. In soccer, St Pat's have signed Maltese international Kieran Woko. The 24-year-old has joined on loan from Valletta until the end of the season. Woko has scored 21 goals in 133 Maltese Premier League games and has been capped by his country 21 times. On the pitch, Celtic, they need to win away from home this evening to graduate to the third qualifying round of the Champions League. They go on to this evening's second leg with Midtjylland level at a goal apiece. Kick-off tonight is at 7:15. And footballers in England will be limited to just 10 headers a week in training in an effort to protect them from potential brain damage. The guidelines will come into force for the upcoming season and has been welcomed by the daughter of Jeff Astle. The former England international died with a brain injury linked to heading heavy footballs. While Wembley will host England Women's World Cup qualifier against Northern Ireland, the game in October will be the first competitive fixture for the Lionesses at the National Stadium since it reopened in 2007. Though they have played 2 friendlies there, England defeated Northern Ireland by 6-0 in their last meeting earlier this year. Finally, for this evening in horse racing, it's Galway Plate Day at the Galway Races. Sam Crowe heads the weights as he bids for a 4th win over fences. Paddy Power Plate winner The Shunter is likely to go off as the favourite when the big race goes to post at 5:45. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Plans to change the funding model for third level education will be brought forward later this year. Higher Education Minister Simon Harris says he's received a final report into how to adequately fund the sector. Colleges and universities have repeatedly called for additional funding from government to compete on the world stage. Minister Simon Harris says the plans for reform will be put together by the end of 2021.
There is a lot more to be done. I think it's one of the reasons we've established this still relatively new department. We do want to settle the question, that this government would settle the question in terms of the policy direction. We've ruled out student loans in terms of funding education. And the final thing I'd just say, and it is, of course, government will wish to spend more on higher education. I think we really need to invest more in human capital.
There is no quick fix solution to reducing fish quota loss and the burden facing the fishing industry as a result of Brexit. And that's according to the Agriculture, Food and Marine Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, who says he's working at European level to try and reduce the fallout of the UK leaving the EU. Minister McConnellogue has been visiting a number of fishing ports across the country, including Killybegs and Greencastle. He told today's 9 till noon show that the government is committed to investing in the fishing sector to mitigate against the impact of Brexit.
I've been working closely with them in relation to putting in place policies and approaches which can we can see as invest in the sector, but also then working at European level as well, Greg, and with the fishing industry representatives to take forward the process of trying to reduce the quota loss on us and the particular burden that's on us coming out of Brexit more so than there is in other member states. There isn't any quick fix solution to that challenge, but it's one that I do stand full square alongside all of our sector in representing them at European level with and working to try and make progress on. I also set up a task force which has given me an interim report, which I am acting on and putting in place supports for the fishing sector, particularly for the whitefish sector, and in relation to the pelagic sector and the inshore sector. There will be a further report coming to me soon around that, and there's a very strong understanding and commitment at government level of the importance in investing in the sector coming out of the Brexit impact that is there. It is a really difficult profession and difficult lifestyle, being away from your family, being out at sea, and working under the pressure as well of such regulation in terms of quotas and rules and regulations around how different species are caught. My sole objective here is to work with fishers to do all I can to make that as practicable as possible, and then at European level to fight that battle in terms of trying to improve the quota share that we have.
A 29-year-old woman has been arrested on suspicion of murder and attempted murder after the death of a baby in North Belfast last night. A second child is being treated in intensive care. With more, here's Andrew Louth.
The local community at Brompton Park in Ardoyne has been left in shock after emergency services were called to the scene at 8 o'clock last night. BSNI Detective Chief Inspector Chris Miller says two children were discovered with serious injuries, with one pronounced dead at the scene and the second brought to ICU. Sinn Féin MP for North Belfast, John Finucane, says there's a numb feeling among locals.
The entire community of Ardoyne, indeed beyond, in North Belfast is in shock at the events that unfolded last night. And a very young child and infant died at the scene last night despite the best attempts of the first responders.
A 29-year-old woman has been arrested on suspicion of murder and attempted murder. Speaking to the BBC, local People Before Profit councillor Fiona Ferguson says it will take some time for residents to come to terms with what has happened.
This is something, because of the nature of it, because of the way we're all learning about this almost live, is something that will take some time for people to get over.
The PSNI says they're looking for nobody else in connection with this investigation.
And finally, the Norwegian ambassador to Ireland has concluded a three-day visit to County Donegal. She met with a number of political and community representatives, addressed the Laurentic Forum and had discussions on shared interests, particularly tourism and fisheries. On today's 9 till noon show, she told Greg Hughes there are stark similarities between rural and fishing communities in Donegal and those in her home country of Norway.
Yes, I do. I was just on Norwegian radio and made that comparison, actually. And, you know, there are so many likenesses. I think, you know, the experiences of the people living off the land and living off the sea. And I think also the weather conditions are very much the same. So for me, it feels like, you know, meeting family when I come here. Of course, our interest in developing coastal communities is the same.
Mostly cloudy this evening with blustery showers merging, longer spells of rain. The showers becoming lighter and less frequent later with a few brighter sunny spells. Westerly winds, mostly moderate, occasionally gusty. Lowest overnight temperatures, 10 or 11 degrees Celsius. Main stories, 1,408 new cases of COVID-19 in the Republic in the past 24 hours. 152 people in hospital with the virus, 16 in Letterkenny. Nationally, 26 in ICU. In Letterkenny University Hospital, that figure is 5. It's emerged today Donegal County Council may suspend its processing of the defective blocks scheme because of the difficulties it's causing its employees. And the Bishop of Raphoe has issued a statement of apology after a former priest was sentenced for abusing two minors in Fannet in the mid to early 1970s. Back with news again at 6. Good evening.
The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, July the 28th. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Sheila Harkin Ní Duffy, Tully Arb, Carndonna, and formerly of Drumaweir, Greencastle. Sheila's remains will repose at her home from tomorrow, Thursday at 10 a.m. Funeral arrangements are to be confirmed later. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Patrick Cheney, Gorton North, Ballandrate, Lifford. Funeral leaving his late residence on Friday, July 30th at 11:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, Lifford. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at clonleyparish.com. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted in the church. The death has taken place in the Foyle Hospice Derry of Carmel O'Kane, formerly of Ardcolgan, Carndonna. Her remains will leave Kelly's funeral premises, Mallon Street, Carndonna, today, Wednesday at 5:30 p.m, going to her brother Colm and Marlene's residence, Moss Road, Carndonna. Funeral leaving from there on Friday at 10:30 a.m, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Patrick Mooney, Ballyborough, County Cavan, and formerly of Brackey, Ardra. His remains are reposing at the family home at Brackey, Ardra. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, at 12 noon, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. His ashes will be buried in Ardra at a later date in the family plot. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and cremation are private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Gerard Duddy, 152 Botanic Avenue, Dublin, and formerly of Hillcrest, Derry Road, Strabane. Funeral leaving his niece, Jo Friel's home, 46 Innisfree Gardens, Strabane, on Friday morning at 9:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in Sacred Heart Cemetery, Derry Road, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.